Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And we've got NBA champion Scott Burrell coming up right now on the Discover Card Celebrity Hotline. Get your free credit scorecard today. Even if you're not a Discover customer, it includes your FICO credit score. And checking your scorecard will not hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. Scott, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's up, Scott?
What's up, Chris? What's up, Rob? How you guys doing?
We are great.
Now, we got a lot of connections to you. You know this.
Right.
I cover Scott when you play, you know, for the New Jersey Nets.
Yep, and New Jersey. Yes, you did.
Fresh off your year with the Bulls.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep.
Scott is the head coach at my alma mater, Southern Connecticut State University in beautiful New Haven, Connecticut.
And I heard that, and you are donating money after this show. That's what I heard.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is I am working to, before all this happened with the pandemic, reached out to start a new scholarship, a Rob Parker scholarship for the journalism, sports journalism program at Southern. So I'm actually going to be doing something once we get back on track here. So, yes.
That's good. I'm very proud of my school.
I didn't know they acknowledged that Rob went there.
Yeah,
so that's good to see.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I messed up. It took him so long to acknowledge that. That's right.
That's it. Yeah. All right. Well, it's great.
Well, Scott, look, we got to start here. Any negative ramifications for you today or last night after what we saw at the end of The Last Dance? I mean, man, mom and dad call you up or anything like that?
No. I warned my parents a long time ago about this. I knew this day was going to come out one day, but they knew that part was coming. Plus that was 22 years ago.
Right. We heard, and I'm sure you probably saw the reports before The Last Dance came out. Michael Jordan had said, you know, people might think he's a horrible guy after they see this because he was, you know, he said, I was hard on Scott Burrell. He was new to the team, and I was hard on him, all that. I haven't really seen that so far. I mean, it looks like it's just kind of him almost taking you under his wing but joking with you a lot. I mean, was he that hard on you? What was it like?
I think he's – well, you know what? I played for some tough coaches. I played different sports. I mean, my dad was hard on me. I think he was just a coach on the court. I don't think he was any harder than anybody else who pushed me to be great or pushed me to be good or who challenged me to be the best I can be. I loved the way he treated me. I loved the way he – every day he would never let me be average. He wanted me to be great because I knew I needed to be great to help them win the third championship because, number one – they were going to do it without me, but I'd rather be a part of it and help do something to hold my end of the bargain.
How about as you look back on, you know, playing with Michael and having a front row seat? I was covering the NBA during that time.
Hold on. You say a front row seat. You're saying I sat on the bench the whole game.
No, I didn't mean that.
No, I'm just joking. I'm teasing.
We had a good seat there. But I remember the writers when I was covering the NBA during that time. We knew we were watching something special. This is even before he won his first championship and what was happening. What was it like when you watched him or when you were practicing or whatever? Did you know, like, man, this dude is like arguably or could be the greatest basketball player we've ever seen? Was it like that, or did you have to appreciate everything after it was over?
No, you already knew that when you played against him. He was the greatest basketball player that you'd ever seen because you had to guard him in games. But when I got there, I appreciate what I saw in practice more than I did in games. Because he made practice harder than games were. The way he came focused, he came mentally prepared. The effort he gave, lifting weights before every practice, there wasn't a day he took off. So the preparation he put himself through and he put us through made games a little bit easier than any other team I played on.
Scott, you saw, I mean, like you said, you were on several different teams. Did he, was he the hardest worker you had ever seen? Or, you know, was it that unusual what he did?
The hardest worker, never took a day off. Mentally, I would say more mentally tougher than anybody I played with. And mentally prepared. And if you weren't prepared, he would let you know, I need you to be better today. Or he wouldn't say it like that. a little more, in a more toneful way, he would say. But he needed you to be great that day so he can practice harder. So it prepared him and yourself when the situation came upon you were put into in a game to be successful.
Speaking of taking days off, the Dennis Rodman, I got to go to Vegas, I got to get out of here, and Jordan and Phil Jackson going back and forth, and then for Michael to have to go to Vegas to go get him. That was an intriguing story. What was that? Tell us about that.
I'm surprised Carmen Electra had to hide behind a couch, he said. That's the best part about the story. Look, MJ put fear in everybody, not just players, everybody. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, right. What is she hiding for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think, you know, one thing Phil was great at was coaching personalities. And you guys know Dennis gave it up, put it on the line every night. He went to battle for his team on the court. And he did it in practice as well. But Dennis was prepared to play every game. He watched film. He had a great IQ, was a great passer, great defender, great rebounder. He prepared himself. But every now and then he just needed a day to ease his mind. And Phil let him do it. And it worked for the team. It worked for him. And obviously he didn't lose fame. So it worked for many reasons.
Hey, Scott. Chris, let me just follow up real quick. The other thing, Scott, was, and you were talking about Phil Jackson. Obviously, Phil Jackson was a hippie, kind of the Zen master, kind of had his own. He wasn't, Joe NBA guy either when he played and coming up. And do you think that made it easier? Because what was it mentioned that he had dropped acid or when he was, you know what I mean? So
you know what he said.
You know what I mean?
He dropped acid,
right? But I'm just saying, does that make it so that he could understand like Rodman, you know, being a different cat and needing a break? Do you know what I mean? To relate where most coaches would have never gone for that.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that's why Phil was successful everywhere he went. Number one, he got great talent around him. But at the same time, you got to be able to coach great talent and get everyone on the same page. If you don't have great chemistry or guys not being have the same goal, it's not going to work. And I think Phil made sure – one thing he did, I mean, everything he did for us was try to bond us as a team, make sure we're on the same page. The adversity that he was going through with the front office, he didn't let that distract us. Michael didn't let that distract us. I mean, Scotty had his issues with Jerry Krause, but he got Scotty focused to play basketball. And I think he understands players, their mindset, because he did play. I don't know how aggressive he is as a person, but he never yelled. So he was great, able to talk to players and relate to them. And that's what I thought he was great at.
Scott, how did Jordan handle or interact with Rodman? Because, you know, I'd heard stories before this documentary came out. Even Rodman would say, like, they never talked. He's like, Michael Jordan never talked to me, never talked. And even when Jordan recounts, like, even the trip to Vegas, and if you listen closely to Jordan telling it, he was saying he, Phil, and Dennis are talking, and he's like, and I'm telling Phil, if you let him go, he'll never – like, Rodman's right there. He's not saying it to Rodman.
Right,
you
right.
know, like, he's saying to Phil.
Like, he's not in the room.
Right. So what was their interaction like?
You know, like you said, like Dennis never talked. So when he did talk, it was about basketball and it was about, you know, trying to make the team better and trying to figure out how we're going to make this work. So it was never really an argument. No one ever had an argument. They would just discuss basketball stuff. And to be honest, I don't know if Dennis said more than five words to anybody because he just came to practice, did his job, and hung out. But I never saw a situation where they had an argument or they had any conversation that wasn't involving how are we going to get better? How are we going to fix something?
Let me finish.
Like Chris, even in that film yesterday, when Dennis and Michael were talking during the game, I thought it was an awesome exchange. You know, of how to make something
right.
Work.
Oh yeah.
Like I don't know if I was on the team that year, but I thought it was awesome to hear those two talk about how we're going to get something fixed to win this game.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up with this, Scott. One of the things that upset me in the first weekend they ran the first two episodes was how a dynasty was broken up by the front office. That's just not the way it should end. But let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, there was issues with Scotty. He had had a couple injuries. Dennis is getting a little older. Do you think they could, let's say they brought the team back as it was, or maybe made a few more additions or tweaks. Mm-hmm. What do you think could they have won a fourth straight championship? That was the year, of course, Duncan and Robinson led the Spurs to the title.
I definitely think they got a chance to win four, because you got to think about four was a lockout year. So it was only half a season.
Good point.
So if you think they're getting older, they would have more time to rest. It was a shorter season. But sometimes we play three games in a row during that season, three games and three nights. But I think they would have plugged in the holes with the right players. I think Jerry did a great job finding guys, finding talent, and filling in holes when they needed it. But like, you got to let that dynasty run its own course. You would never see Steinbrenner back in the day break up the Yankees dynasty.
No way.
Yeah, and it just is sad to see, because it could have been four, it could have been five, it could have been six in a row. You don't know until MJ retired. But it was sad to see a dynasty being broken up through management rather than through wins and losses.
Right.
Hey, Scott we Burrell. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, man. No, great
and,
stuff.
And Scott, next basketball season, I am going to return to see the Fighting Owls play. I'm going to come for a game and check
Rob,
it all out.
Bring that checkbook.
Yeah. As long as you have like some Southern Connecticut hoodie or something, I got to get something in return, you know?
Hey, trust me. Hey, if I get something in the mail, you'll get a hoodie in the mail, too, as well.
All right.
No problem with that.
I got you.
All right, Scott. Great stuff. Alrighty. And good luck, man, with the team.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I thought the Philadelphia Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round, who I like a lot. You know I like Dak. I like Russell Wilson. I think he's similar. I think Jalen Hurts is very similar, more so to Dak. He's not going to overwhelm you with his physical tools, but they're good physical tools. They're above average physical tools as far as passing, as far as running. I mean, he ran a lot more in college than those two, Dak and Russell. And I think he's a winner. He's smart. He's intelligent. Teammates love him, respect him, look up to him. I thought some of the things he did in college, he showed mental toughness, getting benched, losing his job, and then coming in the SEC championship against Georgia and delivering. Like, I like him. And I think by drafting him as high as they did, I thought that the Philadelphia Eagles showed we love Carson. Obviously, they gave him the huge deal, but they don't trust him. They don't trust his body. And they're very concerned about his ability to stay healthy. And I think rightly so. This is not, you know, they're not bringing in his replacement, hopefully, for them. But they're concerned about Carson Wentz's ability to stay healthy. And they should be. I mean, the guy, he's played two full regular seasons. You know, his first one and just this past one. But he got hurt after 9 snaps. He got a concussion in the playoff game. I just think that they're showing you we're not certain about Carson. We're concerned, so we drafted a guy that can replace him if necessary.
I don't buy that at all. I look at it as just an insurance policy from the standpoint of the injury. But whether or not they believe in his ability, it's just about Chris.
To stay healthy.
If he's hurt healthy, Hurts will never see the field. He won't see the field.
Yeah, but he's rarely healthy.
But he was healthy all of last year.
Till the playoffs.
We saw what happened last year when – when he had to rally his team, beat the Cowboys, a depleted team, to beat the Cowboys to win the division and make the playoffs. That was the once in a lifetime that they've seen.
Wince
that
in they a life? Know. Can we stop
yes,
it with
no.
that? Can we that stop Wince it with in a that lifetime. Nickname?
Wince that's,
in a lifetime?
That's what they saw how, last how year. Dak Prescott Wince came to Philadelphia with
when
all
he plays.
Of no,
that's
when,
the problem.
With everything that with everything
he
to win.
He plays every once in a lifetime.
He played last
every
year.
Week?
Played during the regular season, and it's just a, I get it. It's an insurance policy in case he can't stay healthy or he gets seriously hurt. I don't blame Philadelphia for that, but this in no way is about his ability as a quarterback.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
That's all I'm saying. This is not
when he plays, he's very good, but that's the he doesn't hardly play. And that's
but he
the
played
problem.
All last year, Chris,
no, he
until
didn't,
the playoff game.
When the
he got hurt.
Well, you can't say until the playoff game.
But he
that's
played
part
a full
of the year.
Regular. He played a full regular season for the first time since his rookie year.
And then when
and
we needed you
won,
in the playoff
and
game, you got injured
and he
after
won a
four
division.
Passes.
Well, I mean, he got hurt.
And don't give me the
some
win
people
the
are
division.
Like that.
I mean, come on.
And I've seen
some people
and
are
I've
like
seen that. I told you that. And it could be different. I'm just telling you, Matthew Stafford was a China doll his first 3 or 4 years in the NFL. Go look it up. And now he hasn't been – and he got hurt last year at the end of the – he got hurt last season. But he went like 8 or 9 years of not being hurt and being an Iron Man and playing every down. So we'll wait and see, Chris. I don't blame them for making the move, but I'm not going to look at it as some indictment about Wentz's ability and what they think of him. If they really were questioning – whether he was durable or whatever, they would have never given him that contract. Never believed. They could have easily said, we got to wait and see, like the Cowboys are doing with Dak. And they didn't do that. They just paid the guy, gave him the raise, paid him what he's, you know, to one up the last contract that was there. That, to me, showed me all I need to know. And if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm good with that because they paid me despite me not being 100% healthy and me being in and out of the lineup or whatever, that's all I need. There's nothing wrong with competition. You want to bring somebody else in here, that's fine. You got to feel good about your talent. There's always going to be younger guys coming along to try to take your job or outdo you or whatever it is. And the great ones, they're the ones who survive and stick around
when
and guys come and go.
The great ones aren't put in this position. And look, I agree with you in that. This is not an indictment of Wentz's ability. Nobody in their right mind questions his ability. It's his durability. And that is a problem. And I think they are, look, they believe in him when he's healthy. They gave
Chris,
him the contract.
I'll ask you
but
one
what
question.
Happens is he plays the full year and then gets hurt again.
Chris, if he's healthy, who's the quarterback of the
oh, that's not a question. I'm not even going to answer that
no,
because I said I agree. He's this. I started this off. This is not a controversy as far if Wentz is healthy. He is. There's no question about that. But he's hurt too much. And it goes back to college. And they are telling you we have concerns.
It's just
last
funny.
Year
no, let me,
great
let me
to,
hold
no,
on.
Let
hold
me
on.
Finish. Let me finish. Okay, last year was great for the regular season. But then you get hurt in the first playoff game in the first quarter. It's just more of the same.
But, Chris, this
and
is where
you're – every time a young quarterback has been – they like, teams don't draft a backup in the second round when they got a young quarterback they believe is the – you know, the franchise in his hands the next decade.
The Redskins
you
did
just,
it.
When is that – yeah, and what happened? Kirk Cousins eventually replaced RG3.
Yeah, but
every
he got hurt, though. He got hurt.
And
he got
and he
hurt.
Came back healthy and couldn't play anymore.
But here's my point on where
every I find, time this has here, happened. Go ahead.
Here's your point. Here's the problem that I have with your take, is that you're very inconsistent and you're all over the place. You're the one banging the drum for Tua, who's hurt, who has injuries, but you would draft him if you were a team. But you don't care about the injuries. You still would take him. But now you're going to say Carson Wentz is a problem because he's always hurt. So which one is it? Do you stay away from him because he's hurt, or do you draft Tua like you said? You were the one saying, oh, I would take Tua. I don't care about the injuries. They did did this about so-and-so, and they this player had injuries, and look what happened. They didn't want to take Drew Brees, and he wound up having a great career. So which one is it? Is it the injury matter, or do they not matter? Because you're not consistent.
I'm going to give you an answer. How dare the McColt? The most inconsistent of all time.
You're inconsistent.
Consistency. I'm about
you
to answer your
question.
You need
a bran muffin.
I'm about to answer your question, Rob Parker. Tua had 2 years of injuries at Alabama. Carson Wentz has been injured every year since 2015 in the NFL. Okay? It's not the same. Carson Wentz has been injured a lot more. It was a couple times in college. This is a guy who was injured in college. Now he's injured in the pros virtually every year. That's different. That's apples and oranges. And let me say this, because, you know, you might want to try to bring up, well, when Brett Favre, you know, the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers and all that nonsense. Brett Favre was 36 years old. Even this time with the Packers drafting the kid from Utah State, Jordan, Rodgers is 36. You do it with older quarterbacks. But, Rob, every time it's happened with a young quarterback who looks like he could be a franchise guy, whether it was when the Niners took Colin Kaepernick and already had Alex Smith. You mentioned Kirk Cousins and RG3. How about Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson? How about Drew Brees
Joe
being
Flacco
young?
Joe Flacco went on and played 10 or 12 years and won a Super Bowl, Chris. It wasn't like he was replaced.
He was replaced.
He was replaced at the end
they
of his career.
Didn't draft Lamar Jackson at the start end
no,
of his
but
career.
At, yes, he
wasn't
he played,
that old.
He played
a few years. He played.
Chris,
he played a decade. We got dudes playing 15, 20 years now.
But he went to Denver and played 1 year. He was finished finished.
Okay,
it ain't the same.
Even take Flacco out. How about
if you told me that Flacco played 8 years after, then maybe I would buy it.
Buy this. Alex Smith replaced by Colin Kaepernick. RG3 replaced by Kirk Cousins. Drew Brees replaced by Phillip Rivers. Mark Sanchez replaced by Geno Smith. Every time a team is drafted,
Geno Smith had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. He started one game.
My point is this. Every time a team has already had a young quarterback that they thought was their franchise guy, and they went out and drafted another quarterback early, that other quarterback ended up replacing him. Injuries, bad play, whatever it was. And I'm just saying to you, this is more than, let's just draft another quarterback. No, this is a serious concern for the Eagles of Carson Wentz's ability to stay healthy. That's all it is. There's no denying that. I don't know why you're trying.
I'm not trying. I said it's an insurance policy. I said that.
It's
that was the first
insurance.
Thing. No, it ain't. They believe in Carson Wentz.
They
that's
don't
why
believe
he got
he
paid.
Can stay healthy.
It's an insurance policy because of what's happened, but it has
that's
nothing to do with his talent.
Policy.
That's all it is.
You need more than that. With
Jimmy
the
Garoppolo
round.
Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play
Tom
for the.
Tom Brady was like 36 years old. Stop
all
it.
All I'm saying to you is that Hurts will not see the field if he stays healthy.
Talent. They're saying he will. They're saying he's going to be Taysom Hill. How you like that? If I'm Drew Brees and I'm 41, sure, I don't mind the little gimmicks when you bring in my backup to do this or that like Taysom Hill. But if I'm 27 and I want to fling it every down, I don't want no gimmick Taysom Hill, Jalen Hurts coming in to play, five plays a quarter. Or five plays a half? I don't need that. That's a problem. So this is more than you want to admit, Rob Parker. But
as usual, you're
the fans in Philly are upset.
We're doing it. We'll see what happens this year with the
Eagles
and with Carson.
The fans in Philly are high. Look, I hope Carson stays healthy and plays. I don't like the idea of trying to use Hurts like Taysom Hill. If I'm Philly, if I'm Carson, I'm like I'm playing every down. What do you always say, Rob? When you got two quarterbacks, you got what? Zero.
To me, they only got one quarterback, and as long as Wentz in a lifetime is healthy,
can you stop
Wentz is
it with
be
the
it.
Nickname? name.
No, that's his nickname, Wentz in a Lifetime.
He plays Wentz in a Lifetime. That's the problem. And they think they got two. I don't like the Taysom Hill thing if I'm Carson.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We have a special guest, a great guest.
One of my favorite people.
A guy that has, yes, been it. I mean, he was a great player, Hall of Famer, champion, and guarded the GOAT, I'll call him the GOAT, just about as well as anybody. And also stepped into the front office after that and was just as good there. And as Rob and I like to say, look, he led a team that didn't have that super duper star to a championship. One of only what, two teams maybe in the last 30 years or so.
When you talk about Seattle, yeah, absolutely. That 2004
and Seattle Supersonics
team is as special as it gets, and was put together by no one other than Mr. Joe Dumars. Welcome to the Odd Couple, Joe D.
Hey guys, what's up? What's up, Rob? What's up, Chris? How you guys doing?
We're great, man. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Of course, man. I go way back with both of you guys, man. So happy for your success. Happy for your show. It's just awesome, man. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Means a lot. You know it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So yeah. I assume you've been watching The Last Dance like just about everybody else in the sports world.
Yeah.
And yesterday you guys played a huge role, the Detroit Pistons. Were you surprised? I mean, they still obviously have a lot of, it seems like, hatred for you guys. Were you surprised that Horace Grant, Michael Jordan, and a lot of these other Bulls still feel that way, you know, 20-some-odd years later? 30 years later?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I didn't know, you know, where those guys stood on that stuff. But I wouldn't say surprised. These were some incredible battles. I think as people are getting to see, this was as intense in professional sports as you could possibly get. I think you can go down the annals of history, and I don't know if you're going to get much more intense than these series were. And this wasn't a one-time thing. As Mike said in the documentary yesterday, you know, we were playing each other six times a year during that time. And
right.
So you know, you play a team six times a year, and then you get into a seven-game series with them. You know, you're talking about playing possibly 13 times against each other, and so that brings about a whole lot of real tension. And you know, we weren't playing for the seventh and eighth seed. You know, we're planning to go to the NBA Finals. So,
right.
You know, I think, you know, you add all those things together, man, and the proximity of those two cities, you guys know. I mean, you guys lived in the Midwest before. So, you know, Detroit, Chicago, that's close. And so put all those things together and some real competitive people, and I think you get what you're seeing right now in the documentary.
Joe, you, of course, matched up with Michael Jordan, was credited as one of the few guys who could slow him down. Nobody could stop him or make him at least earn everything. What do you take away from the time that you spent playing against him, you know, getting to know him a little bit, whatever it was? What was it about Michael Jordan that was different from other people? What did you take from him?
I think what people are really seeing now is just the incredible focus and competitive spirit he brought to the court every night. He was as competitive, super competitive, as anyone. But you add incredible physical gifts with that type of intensity and focus and competitive nature. You add those things together. You know, what he was doing physically was just so gifted, just so special on the court. And then, you know, he had that drive to go along with it. That's what separated him. You know, there were some guys who were competitive, but they didn't have his gift. There were some guys that were gifted, didn't have his competitive streak. He had it all. And so there were no holes that you could attack with him, on the court or off. You know, you weren't going to beat him mentally. You weren't going to just beat him physically. And so, you know, he provided a handful, man. He was a handful, you know, on all those nights, man. He was a handful.
Joe, one of the big storylines from last night, of course, was, you know, when they finally beat you guys in 91 and, you know, Isaiah and Bill Laimbeer, they walked off the court past, you know, Jordan and the Bulls without shaking hands. Now, you and John Sally shook the hands of the Bulls players. Tell me about that decision. I don't know if it was a team-wide thing where we're not going to shake hands and you two guys decided to do it. Or how did? Tell me about what everything that went down and what was your thought process.
I'm not sure, like, how it came about. I heard Isaiah say Lamb said something to him about maybe walking off. So when everybody started walking, say, okay, we're out, that's all I heard. I said, okay, we're leaving. And it was only, I don't know how many seconds on the clock. So we were like, okay, we're out. So when we're walking by, it never even dawned on me not to shake their hand. Listen, you know, the three previous years, this guy had, we had beaten them and we had ended their season. And, I can just tell you every single time that we eliminated them, you know, Mike found me, shook my hand, just whispered, man, tough battle, great battles, Joe, man. Good luck in the finals. So, you know, when we were walking off, I saw him, I stopped, said the exact same thing to him. Like, man, tough battles, man. Good luck in the finals, bro. And that was it. I mean, we went on. So, you know, at the time, you know, it's a really big deal now and since then, but at that moment, it really wasn't a big deal in terms of just walking and stopping and shaking their hands. Like, you know, some guys are going to shake, some guys not going to shake hands. And, you know, that's each person's decision what they want to do. But for me, man, me and this guy was battling, man. And so, you know, and he shook my hand every time. And I could see he was devastated every single time we beat them. You know, when we eliminated them, their season was over. You're looking at a dude, man, you're both sweating, you've been battling, you've been fighting that whole time, and then, you know, he comes and says, hey, man, good luck in the finals, Joe D, man. And so, you know, hell, I'm a grown man. I'm going to say the same thing to him, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I wasn't beefing with him with that. Like, nothing but respect, you know?
There are some that have written, even, I know you guys know Terry Foster, you know, Detroit columnist, longtime Detroit columnist. He wrote today that, you know, people didn't tell the whole story, like last night in the documentary, that the day before game four, Jordan had said, you know, the Pistons are undeserving champions and they're bad for basketball. And that played a role in why some of the players, at least, were very upset and you know, didn't shake their hands. Were you aware of that quote by Jordan? And did that, you know, really incense a lot of guys and maybe lead to what they did?
I definitely was aware of the quote. I remember reading the quote. And like I said, man, you know, when you are in those battles, Chris, you have to man up in those battles. And so I had no issue with Isaiah and whoever else wasn't going to shake hands. And I understood that. I understood where they were coming from. No one ever said a word to me, though, about, hey, why'd you stop shaking your hand? Like, no one's asked me that either. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, yeah, you know, you do you, I do me. And, I love you, I respect you. And, yeah, I saw the comments the day before, Chris. But, you know, Chris, man, I think if you – I mean, you guys know. You guys – come on, man. You guys know what's up. You know it was a different league back then. And, you know, these are grown men back then. And dudes were going to say what they were going to say. And you weren't going to be really sensitive to the point where, you know, you react like, you know, like a child. Like, you're going to do what a man's going to do. And so those guys, my teammates, were men. And they said, we're walking off, man. And so I respected that. They respected me.
Joe, our guest, Joe Dumars, of course, NBA Hall of Famer, joining us here on The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. But, Joe, the Isaiah-Michael Jordan feud is there. You could see it in Michael Jordan's tone when they said what Isaiah had said. He was already, like, spitting fire. You know what I mean? He didn't want to hear it. He was real. This is 30 years later. He's still hot.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Nobody seems to be able to talk about really what the angst or what it is that these two guys really have a beef with, especially Michael Jordan. And I'm just going to lay a couple things out. I'm not putting it in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Isaiah didn't make the dream team. And if you remember, Magic was his best friend. Chuck Daly was the coach. And the general manager was the Pistons, I just forgot his name, GM.
Jack McCloskey.
McCloskey, right? So that was that. Mm-hmm. And then there was always the talk that Isaiah was trying to, or was the one who said that they should freeze Jordan out in the All-Star game or whatever. What is it between those two, or do you even know, or how intense is it between those two, even after all these years? Are you surprised? I know it's a mouthful.
So just for the audience out there, like, I know these two guys I'm on the phone with right now, Chris and Rob. These some good cats, they know me, right? So these are some good cats, and I love these guys. These guys know, though, I've had conversations with both of you guys before. I couldn't even begin to tell you if there was any other beef beyond the basketball stuff. If it's some stuff beyond that, it's beyond me, fellas. And I never even got in that lane with that kind of stuff. Like,
right.
You know, like, dude, if it's something with you guys, man, whatever. You know, I got to defend this guy for 48 minutes. I'm not tripping on nothing else. So if I knew something, guys, I would tell you. But I don't know of any other beef other than that. For me, it was just how intense this was. And the stakes were so high. I mean, like I said, we weren't planned to see who was going to get out of the first round every year. You know, we knew we were going to see those guys. And, you know, at the beginning of June, end of May. Yep. And so, that, you know, when the stakes are that high, guys, there really doesn't need to be anything else.
Joe, were you surprised, though? My only thing is, were you surprised last night just the way Jordan responded to the – obviously, Isaiah's in it. He was being interviewed for it. You know what I mean? So he knew. And that has to go in. But his reaction is what got me. If it was on the court, you guys haven't played in 25 years, right? Do you know what I mean? That's the part that I didn't get.
I know what you're saying. Listen, I'm sitting here at my place here in L.A., and I'm watching it. Me and my son are watching it, right? And it happens. I'm looking at him. He looks at me. I'm laughing. I'm going, hell, I don't know. It's like, dude, I don't know. He and I started laughing. I was just like laughing, looking at him like, oh, okay. And you know, I'm listening to him last night. I'm listening to Cartwright, and I'm listening to
Horace Grant
and all the guys, and I was like, wow, those guys are really mad, man. Okay.
Joe, we've seen, and Rob and I, we both say Jordan's the GOAT. We've seen Isaiah and
Doesn't
Bill
mean
Lambeer.
That LeBron's not a great player.
Right. We think he's second, but Bill Lambeer and Isaiah have said he's not the GOAT. And we always chuckle at it and say, well, of course they're not going to say, you know, they're not going to give him those props. Mm-hmm. Where do you have a GOAT? Who you think is the GOAT? Is it Jordan? Is it somebody else?
Like, I'm going to give you the exact answer for this. I've had a million people talk to me about this, and I'll give you the exact answer I give everybody. Look, the greatest player I ever played against, without a doubt, is Mike. But I understand this generation. Like, they didn't see Mike, and so, you know, LeBron is their guy. But I don't even really have a GOAT. I can just tell you the greatest guy that I stepped across that line with was Mike. Now, you know, I never stepped across the line with LeBron. So, you know, for these guys, you know, hey, I get it, man. But I don't even get caught up into, like, oh, no, he's the greatest. I can just tell you who's the best dude that I had to strap up against was Mike, without a doubt, man.
And there it is.
I agree. And there's somebody who had to play him, guard him. You weren't just on the court. You had to be in his jock. I mean, if anybody's going to know, that's why it's so great to have you on the show, especially, you know, right after the documentary about, and the Pistons had a big role in it. One last thing for me. The Dennis Rodman transformation. Joe, you were there when Rodman was the country bumpkin who showed up to Detroit, naive about everything, turned into a wedding dress wearing mascara. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you believe what he started as and where he finished up at?
Well, I mean, we've all seen it, guys. we've all seen it. Like, I knew Rod when he, like you say, when he, my first year there, my second year there was Rodman's first year there. So I was there, and the next year Rodman came, the year after I did. And so we were teammates for a while there. And so you're right, man. He was, you know, no tap, no earrings, no nothing when he first got there. And, you know, he transformed into what we see today. I will say this, though, about him, and I think you heard some other people say it through this documentary, at least I think so. Good dude, man. This is not like, you know, people see him, and I don't know if they think he's like this jerk, you know, this just, you know, guy that's like crazy. A bad dude or something. Like, yeah, right. He's not that, man. Dude is not that at all, man. Like, this dude is a good soul. Love Rod to death, man. Love playing with him. He's a good soul, man. And you know, if he was a really, really super bad guy, just thinking about what you saw last night with Phil and them, and, you know, hey, he needs 48 hours to get away.
Right.
You know, he comes back, man. They know they can count on this guy, man. And so that's the one thing I'll say about him. Like, he transformed into whoever he is today, but I think I don't want to get lost with this guy. He's a good dude, man. Really, really good dude.
Joe, great stuff,
yes.
Man. We appreciate your time, and we thank you for it, and be safe with your family, man.
Yeah, okay, Chris, I appreciate it, man. Chris, appreciate it, Robbie, man. You guys, I'm happy for you guys. Best of luck with this, man.
No doubt. And Joe D, one of these days, we want to get you in the studio in L.A. Come out, hang out with us for an hour.
Okay, where's the studio at, Rob?
It's in Sherman Oaks, right off the 405.
Okay, right.
And you know what?
We'll get
Joe,
you
we can talk about
seat,
anything.
Joe.
You know that. We can talk about any sport. Joe is a big baseball fan, too.
Good.
We'll get you on the hot seat.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool.